Could you please read the next time certain item, item number 221?
Declare intent to initiate local improvement district formation proceedings to construct street, sidewalk, and stormwater improvements from East Burnside Street to south of Northeast Everett Court in the Northeast 97th Avenue Phase 2 Local Improvement District.
Commissioner Udaly.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm pleased to bring forward this first step in the lengthy process of considering a large local improvement district in the Gateway area. PBOT LID Administrator Andrew Abbey will get into the details shortly, and it is an impressive effort in an area long in need of investment, but I want to highlight a couple issues and concerns I have at the front end. And I'll keep it real brief. I have two concerns. One is displacement. City Council adopted a variety of anti-displacement measures with our comp plan in recognition to historic wrongs and negative impacts for communities of color and low-income renters, and I want to make sure that we are bringing all of those measures to bear when we are considering this project. And the second is the potential for affordable housing. Currently, the proposal suggests that we could get up to 2,000 units, and 40% of them would be available at some level of affordability, but that's not a promise or a guarantee. It's a possibility, and given the city's investment in this area, I want to not lose sight of the potential, especially given the fact we've got a light rail stop there, and it would be just a prime area for affordable workforce housing. So with that, I want to invite Andrew to begin his presentation, and then we can open it up to invited testimony, followed by public testimony. Hello.
Thank you, Commissioner Udaly. Andrew Abbey, Local Improvement District Administrator. It's a distinct pleasure to be here this morning. It was almost 5 years ago to this day that Council closed out the first LID that we had in Gateway, which is the Northeast 97th Avenue Green Street LID, which is why we're calling this the Northeast 97th Avenue Phase 2 LID. And one of the developments that arose as a result of that LID was the Rose Apartments, which is 40% affordable housing. And that has been an unqualified success in Gateway, a rare success story in Gateway. And I've been talking to the property owners since then, and there's a waiting list for that affordable housing. So one of the catalysts for this new LID was to help address that waiting list for affordable housing. With that, why don't we switch over to the presentation, and I'll kind of walk you through that in a little bit more detail. So the map that you see here on this slide, there's actually two maps there. They're the same map, but what they highlight are the two different LIDs that we are planning to bring to Council. The one on the left is the LID we're considering today, which is the Northeast 97th Avenue Phase 2 LID, which would complete all of the street improvements on Northeast 97th Avenue from Burnside to Gleason. And then on the right, you see the new east-west streets that we propose to build in Gateway. So right now what you have in Gateway are super blocks. So you have, you're hemmed in by I-205 on the west. You've got Burnside and Gleason, which are arterials running east and west. And then you've got 102nd Avenue. There's little to no on-street parking on either one of those three arterials. So in essence, what Gateway is it's an area that you can drive through, but it's not an area that the street network really lets you stop anywhere. We just have very inadequate access and circulation into Gateway. So what we want to accomplish between these two LIDs and actually a third and fourth LID, which I can explain in a moment, is we really want to break up that super block that I just showed you on those maps. We do want to build 1,500 to 2,000 new housing units. Again, 40% of those affordable. The Gateway Urban Renewal Area is going to expire in 3 years, and kind of at the 11th hour, we'd like to get a big win for Gateway before the URA expires. Commissioner Daly mentioned that we have three MAX lines nearby. And earlier this year, TriMet implemented a new 24-hour bus line on Burnside Street. So we really want to capitalize on the investment that TriMet has made in this area. We want to improve pedestrian and bike safety at the light rail crossing at 97th and Burnside. We want to encourage more bike ridership in this area. Right now, the I-205 multi-use path between Burnside and Gleason has been described as a, quote, cattle chute, unquote. We want to improve the drainage and lighting on that multi-use path so that it's a more attractive facility for to be used. And we also want to address equity concerns. So this particular area in Gateway has an equity score of 10. It's the maximum possible equity score that we can have. We have a very diverse community here. We really want to build infrastructure to serve this community. So I wanted to put this into perspective that, as we all know, we have a real shortage of housing in Portland. If you were to take the area that you saw on the maps two slides ago, if you were to take that area and make it the 37th county in Oregon, what we're poised to do here in the way of additional housing units is to deliver more housing units than currently exist in three individual counties, Sherman, Gilliam, and Wheeler County, as shown on that map. So we're really talking about something transformational. And while those counties are small in population, they have been outsized in terms of their contributions to Oregon. So Wheeler County, for example, is where Bill Bowerman, the founder of Nike, and the gentleman who invented the waffle sole for Nike shoes, that's where he grew up. Gilliam County is where Linus Pauling grew up, the famous scientist. Interesting story you may not know, but Linus Pauling had to move out of Portland in 1905 because his father died and his mother couldn't afford housing in Portland. So the reason he moved to Gilliam County is because he couldn't afford to live in Portland. So bottom line is, these are wonderful counties to live in, but what we don't want to have happen is people have to move far away from Portland because they can't afford a place to live in Portland. So
this is a recap. Not a new problem, is the point.
I have said many times we've always had a housing crisis for someone, but I didn't realize it was included Linus Pauling. So yeah. Thank you.
And full disclosure, Mayor, I did a little research on you, and I see you have no connection to Wheeler County. So.
None whatsoever. Thank you for the disclosure.
So here's the financial overview of this particular LID. It's a $5.6 million LID, and we have a very generous contribution from TriMet to improve rail safety at 97th and Burnside on this LID. This comes on the heels of the recently formed LID in Cully, so we really appreciate TriMet partnering with us so soon after the most recent LID. So if we are successful, we're still tying up the loose ends on the second LID that we want to bring to council for Cooch and Davis Streets, as I showed you on the map. If council winds up forming this LID and the Cooch Davis LID, the combined effect of those two LIDs is this will become the largest LID, combined LID in the city's history, and it will surpass the number of LIDs that council has approved over the past few years. So this is a picture of what 97th and Burnside looks like. It's not a very attractive environment. You can see that the drainage is poor, and the bikes come down southbound on 97th Avenue. They have a kind of a strange angle crossing there where the MAX train is. We want to improve the safety of that. Moving forward, TriMet is going to have a track refurbishment project in this area, and so we saw this as an opportunity to improve that safety in conjunction with that upgrade. So on the top left, you see a picture of what the Gateway Shopping Center looked like in 1954, and I think council knows that I'm a bit of a history buff. So I looked and found out that Fred Peterson was the 43rd mayor of Portland when the Gateway Shopping Center was built. We are blessed today with the presence of the 52nd and 53rd mayors of the city of Portland, who are with us today, Charlie Hales and Ted Wheeler.
Wait, where is Mayor Hales? There he is, ladies and gentlemen. Woo-hoo! Mayor Hales is in the chamber. Thank you. Thanks for being here, Mayor.
So here we are, 9 and 10 mayors later. I think we're finally poised to solve the Gateway puzzle. But what you can see is that that shopping center has been in existence for 65 years, but you go a little bit south of the shopping center, and we still have really derelict infrastructure. You may be surprised to learn, looking at those pictures, that those pictures are an area that's been designated as a pedestrian district, and it's anything but pedestrian-friendly. As a matter of fact, the Hazelwood Neighborhood Association, in which this LID is located, actually has a lower sidewalk coverage ratio than the city as a whole, despite being a designated pedestrian district. So this is another picture, and I just want to bring this up to address the displacement issue. We have a lot of lots here in this area that are vacant. We also have houses that are just simply boarded up. We're not going to displace anybody if we tear down a house that's boarded up. What I've been hearing anecdotally is some of the people who live there have been moving out because the conditions are so unattractive. I wanted to just show you the Title 33 Gateway Plan District. It says that Gateway is Portland's only regional center. As designated in the Outer Southeast Community Plan, it is targeted to receive a significant share of the city's growth. Gateway is served by two interstate freeways, Max Light Rail and TriMet Bus Service. Gateway is positioned to become the most intensely developed area outside of the central city. But looking at these pictures, that development and all the housing that we want to bring will not happen without first building the infrastructure to bring it. So I was talking last week with a former colleague of mine at TriMet. I used to work there many years ago, and we were having a conversation about what's been successful with light rail and what hasn't. And he made the comment to me that if you're to look at the major MAX lines in the system, the one station that's done well is the Renko in Hillsborough. What hasn't done so well is Sunset Transit Center and Gateway Transit Center because there's no active space around them. So that kind of intrigued me. So last Saturday, I had a little bit of time to kill, and I rode the MAX out to Gateway, and I just kind of wanted to see what it looked like from a pedestrian's point of view. So I got off the red line at Gateway. I crossed this crosswalk. I was greeted by three abandoned shopping carts and a barbed wire fence. And then when I walked around that wire fence, I was standing in a surface parking lot looking at the back of a Fred Meyer store. So, I mean, there's nothing there to draw you there. That is not an active space. There wasn't a single car parked on that parking lot. So then what I did is a little later that afternoon, I took my daughter out to Orenco. We took a long MAX ride out to Orenco in Hillsborough, and I wanted to see what Orenco was looking like. And I'm not suggesting that we build exactly in Gateway what we built in Orenco, but what you've got there in Orenco is you've got mixed use right up against the MAX line. You have shops, restaurants. You have a range of housing options in Orenco, and again, including affordable housing. There was a strong partnership between the City of Hillsborough, TriMet, and Affordable Housing Partners. You have a real community there in Hillsborough. And what I really want to show you here is that what we're proposing is this initial area in Gateway is what we show on the map is initial development shaded in green. We are hoping that this will kickstart at some point the future development area shaded in purple. It's about a 1/3 mile walk from the Gateway Transit Center down to the area of the proposed LIDs. Again, if you jump back to the Orenco slide, the initial Orenco station development is also 1/3 mile away from the MAX line, and then that gave rise to the development of what you see in those pictures many years later.
Andrew, could you just go back 2 slides, please?
Yeah.
On that one. I just wanted to point out to everybody that underneath where it says Northeast Widler Street, that's Halsey Street, and right under there is the new Gateway Discovery Park. So that also is going to provide a huge amenity for this future development, and I'm really excited to see.
Thank you, Commissioner. I couldn't have said it better. So what we really want to do is we've got the investments coming at the north end of Gateway. The feedback I've been hearing from the community is we need a downtown-type development to link together Gateway with Mall 205, and we need to make that connection as well.
Right. And I just want to also add that there's a Human Solutions building that's going up there with affordable housing. So I know that this community has been really intentional about the concern that Commissioner Udaly and I share. And so thank you for addressing head-on the displacement issue.
Thank you very much, Commissioner.
Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you, Mayor. I have a question. The initial development spot that you have located on a map, mm-hmm. is there a development? Who owns that property, and is that development already approved?
Good question. You're going to be hearing from those folks in just a few minutes, Commissioner Hardesty. I think part of the reason we're here today, Commissioner, is what you had in Hillsborough many years ago is the city of Hillsborough went in and started assembling all those parcels where you had a concentration of ownership. That has been sorely lacking in Gateway. But what we've had is we've had some passionate residents and developers of Gateway who have wanted to transform their community into something better, and what they've been doing the past 5 and 10 years have been assembling those parcels themselves to put us in a position where now we have a concentration of ownership where we can now move ahead and do this development.
What we've learned from other transit centers is that if we're not proactive about having housing that people can afford to live in first before the development happens, then what happens is we displace the people who are there now.
Correct. And what we've been very intentional, Commissioner, in our discussions with the developers about incorporating affordable housing. I don't work for the Housing Bureau, but I'm obviously well aware of the need for affordable housing. So that has been front and center in our discussions all the way through.
So when you say affordable housing, what do you mean?
Again, I'm not a housing expert, but whatever the definition is of affordable housing, the intent here is that 40% of the units that are built will be affordable.
It will probably be 60 to 80% MFI, which is basically
the median family income. So we're talking 40 to 45,000 would be what somebody would have to make to live in those apartments. I mean, I think it's important that we actually say the number as compared to using the term affordable housing, because that's such an oxymoron statement, right? Because I can't tell you what's affordable for you, and you certainly can't tell me what's affordable for me. But we need to know, what is the income you need to live there? Thank you.
I take your charge on that, Commissioner. Thank you. But again, I just want to emphasize affordable housing in no way, shape, or form has been an afterthought to this discussion. So you saw the pictures of what this area of Gateway looks like today. This is an architectural rendering of what we would like Gateway to become. So this particular photo, I shouldn't say photo, architectural rendition, is standing south of Burnside Street looking north. You're east of I-205. This is what we want to have happen in Gateway. So I can't stress this enough, but when we're talking about market rate housing and affordable housing, when we're putting 1,500 to 2,000 housing units in here, that creates a lot more housing options for everyone. And then my last slide here is the other corner of this area of Gateway. This is at 99th and Everett Court. What we also hope to do is have a third and fourth LID. The third LID would build Northeast Everett Court, which is a required component of achieving the 1,500 to 2,000 housing units. We also would like to do something pretty innovative, which we'd like to do a second LID in the city's history to help fund park improvements. We'd like to build one park along the west side of Northeast 97th Avenue and also build a park in the vicinity of 99th and Everett Court, so that we're not only building housing options for people, but we're also building recreational spaces for people. If you're going to have enough people moving here that it could become the 37th largest county in Oregon, we need to have green space and open space for those people of all income levels and backgrounds to have a place to recreate. So,
and is it envisioned that those park improvements would be parts of the developments and paid for as part of the development?
Yeah, those are the discussions that are unfolding. They're pretty early discussions, but the idea is that the development coming in the door would also partner with the city on funding those park improvements.
I know you're going to have more presenters, but the question that occurs to me right now is, why is this coming as a local improvement district, which you usually think about as streets, where in fact it's an area plan, a development plan?
Well, again, we have more details to work out on this, but my intent here is just to inform the council that we're trying to think of this comprehensively so that we don't build part of the infrastructure and not think about the other aspects of the infrastructure. In effect, what we're really trying to do here, Commissioner, and I haven't done this effort, you'll hear more from former Mayor Hales, he's been doing a massing study of this area. We've been trying to do our own little mini master plan, if you will, to see how all these components fit together. So it's a work in progress.
And is Prosper Portland involved?
Yes, and thank you very much. That's a great segue into my final comment, which was I wanted to thank Thea Munchel at Prosper Portland. She is relatively new to Portland and to Prosper, and she has done an excellent job of engaging with us. The discussions are still early, but those discussions are proceeding well. And there's a lot of moving pieces to this. We've got transportation involved, we've got parks, we've got Prosper Portland, but as far as I can tell, all the discussions seem to be going well and aligning. So I hope council approves this, and I hope we can also hopefully bring back second, third, and fourth LIDs to you in the coming months to fully realize their vision and gateway. Happy to answer any questions you
Andrew,
might have.
Andrew, could I just put a couple of comments on the table? First of all, to be very clear for the benefit of the council, we are here to talk about the LID. That is what we are talking about today. But I appreciate that we're also dovetailing that with a larger vision for what this neighborhood could be. And yes, Prosper Portland is engaged and responsive to Commissioner Hardesty's question, the Housing Bureau is also engaged in what I would describe as very preliminary conversations. So the answer to your question about what constitutes affordable, that has not been determined at this point. The second piece I'd like to mention is that the development vision that you are showing here is actually a long-term development vision. This is not something that is imminently coming before the council for a vote or approval, but this is an effort by advocates in the Gateway area to show what a potential vision for this area could be like. They've already assembled the land. They've already thought long and hard about what the open space, what the green space, what the park-like opportunities would be, and they've engaged proactively with us on the housing and the development front to talk about how that development might unfold. But there's a lot of runway that happens between here and there before anything is finalized in that regard. So I want to bracket this a little bit and say what's before us today is really just the LID question. But it is also nice, and frankly, I appreciate hearing the bigger vision so I can connect the dots between now and, say, 20 years from now, what the completed picture will actually look like. So I appreciate that. But I wanted to make that clarification.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you.
I mean, just to be even a little more clear, the resolution today is simply to declare our intent to initiate a local improvement district formation. So we're not committing to specifics. We are just getting a picture of what's possible if we were to invest in these improvements in partnership with private entities.
Yeah, and the only thing I would add to that, Mayor, is what we're really trying to do is to avoid green lighting a whole bunch of housing and then the infrastructure being an afterthought later, you know, where we take a waiver of remonstrance and we're here 5 or 10 years talking, you know, gee, we should have planned this all out and had the infrastructure. We're just trying to have a more proactive, coordinated, and planned
approach. Yeah, and I just wanted to give a shout out to the people in the community who are bringing this vision forward, that they have actually sought to reach out to us both on the development front through Prosper, as well as thinking about displacement and affordability issues around the housing question. We're just a long way from actually making any final determination, and none of that would go forward without bringing it back to the council for a full discussion.
Go ahead, Commissioner.
Thank you. So is the city putting any money into this local improvement district?
I'm sorry?
Is the city putting any money into
this? Yes. So if you go back to... Sorry, I didn't have these slides memorized. There you go. Yeah, we're on this particular local improvement district, PBOT's putting a little over 5% into it. If we bring back the second LID, we are anticipating that we would bring that LID back with Prosper Portland funding if it's approved, and then also with PBOT system development charge funding as well. One thing I really want to stress is it's hard enough to make these developments pencil when you're only having to improve one street, which in this case is an existing 97th Avenue that's north-south, but then if you're also building an east-west street and you have to buy land and demolish buildings, fill in cesspools, build new east-west streets, extend water mains, and do utility undergrounding, is a heavy lift for the infrastructure. And we're planning for that. We think we can pay for it. But that's why we need some public investment on the infrastructure side.
And by overhead funding, you mean non-system development charge funding?
What I mean by overhead funding is funding that's applied to the personnel on PBOT So it's generally it's an 80% rate on personnel charges in PBOT. And we've had a long tradition of using overhead funding to help move LIDs forward.
Okay, so my last question is, this is unusual that often we have a development agreement. Going back to Commissioner Hardesty's question about who owns the properties, who's going to benefit, we don't have a development agreement on this yet.
Commissioner, we traditionally haven't done development agreements on LIDs, but there are certainly deal points, if you will, on the funding. And so the funding of the second LID that we want, I mean, the first LID is fully funded, so that's not an issue. But if we think about bringing that second LID forward, we're looking at some markers in terms of number of certain blocks developing, and to Commissioner Hardesty's point, ensuring that affordable housing is part of that component as well. So,
what guarantee do we have even in the first phase of what's going to get built?
Because those guarantees would apply to the LID funding. And, you know, I think the important thing to remember, Commissioner, is LIDs are liens on properties. So for the many LIDs I've done over the years, having a lien on the property is a real incentive to develop. And we also have zoning in place, by the way, that has high-density zoning in this regional center, et cetera. So my experience over the LIDs, and I think the original LID in Gateway was a good example of that for Northeast 97th. You know, once you have that LID formed by council, it's really a commitment at that point that we're moving forward and you're gonna develop. So I simply haven't seen the need for development agreements in the past because the development has materialized. But that said, there are these deal points that we need to continue working out, and there will be the opportunity to do that with additional LIDs coming before council.
Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you, Mayor. I greatly appreciate your presentation, and I do understand that we're just talking about the LID today.
Yes.
But what you're doing is making a commitment. What you're doing is having property owners tax themselves,
yes,
to do improvements with an expectation that something else is going to happen. So even though we have a very narrow vote today, it's all in context of, and by the way, that is my community.
Yes.
It is in context of how is this going to benefit the community, both short-term and long-term. And so my questions, I appreciate the mayor's clarification and Commissioner Udaly's clarification, but I'm always concerned. We're just saying approve this today, and we'll deal with the details later, right, because we're still working those out. Because as soon as you make that commitment, you're off and running, right? And then you'll be back with little other pieces. But I just know that I'm concerned that we don't have a model yet of how we've done this right. So I would love to see this one be a model of how we've done it right. And that real affordable housing, a real housing that people can afford to live in, is a result of the actions that we're taking. And if we don't have a commitment around that, then I would have some concerns.
Thank you, Commissioner. And let me just say this, that we can include whatever we want to include in the formation ordinance for the subsequent LIDs. So if council wants to include a finding or a directive in there that says it's going to be 40% affordable housing, you know, whatever issues important to the council, we can absolutely embed those in a formation ordinance for subsequent LIDs.
I want to raise a cautionary flag on that. I mm-hmm. do not support that strategy because that backs us into a financial model that we may or may not be able to afford, and it may create a market dynamic that community just can't support. So
okay.
I'd be very reluctant to put that level of specificity in.
Okay.
Unless the housing director tells me otherwise, but I think she'll tell us it's a crazy idea.
Andrew, so can I just, you know, I think this is one of those rare examples of where we had this set aside for 30 minutes today because it was, I guess, from my briefing, supposed to be the least controversial part of the LID.
Mm-hmm.
But what you've done, however, is you've laid out the vision. So in effect, what we're doing is commenting on the broader vision and where we make sure we get the public benefit. If we weren't doing that, this would actually be a very straightforward LID.
We'd be done now.
And we'd be done by now. So I think that's where the disconnect is a little bit. One thing I'll just note from the briefing that I got, the developer doesn't actually control all the sites.
Yeah.
So before we put the cart before the horse here, you know, this is a long-term vision where people are attempting to assemble land and are thinking about financing, have preliminary conversations with Prosper Portland about investment. I share the concern of my colleagues to make sure that we have clear guidelines in terms of what the public benefit is with public investment. To me, this particular LID is a no-brainer, and you've cooked it the way you do all other LIDs, and it's going to, you know, I plan to support it. But by giving us the sort of larger vision, you've salted in the conversation much bigger questions that we're not going to address today, but which we're signaling to the developer we may address in phase 2 and 3. And so it may not be a 30-minute LID conversation. It may be backing into sort of what does a master plan look like? What are the public benefits? And if Prosper Portland's putting money in this, what kind of guarantees are we getting?
Yep.
So.
Thank you. And I want to be respectful of council's time. We have a few invited testimony, folks for invited testimony. I'm wondering if we could bring forward Steve Witter from TriMet and former Mayor Hales make a few brief remarks.
You bet. Thank you. Come on up. Mayor Hills, you know the drill.
3 minutes, name of the record.
I recall it, Mayor Wheeler, I do. Good morning. I'm Charlie Hales with HDR. Mayor and Commissioners, it's a pleasure to be here with you today. It's also a pleasure to be with Andrew Abbey, who's enabled the city to build so many streets and so many partnerships. And I know you're all familiar with the negotiation book, Getting to Yes. I think Andrew actually could write the sequel, which would be getting to, yes, please tax me more, because that's what he's enabling you to do in this case and many others. I got involved in this project for two reasons. One, I have a long history with Gateway, and two, my company was hired to do some preliminary urban design and massing study diagrams, some of which you've seen here today, and to do some preliminary engineering calculations for the project. I'm also mainly here today because I think that this project and that the community that these property owners are interested in working with you to create is really finally the main chance to make something significant happen in Gateway and to fulfill the promise that we've all been harboring for this part of our city for a very long time. That promise will be realized, in my opinion, only if you form a long-term partnership with the property owners and neighborhood leaders who are here making this commitment to the LID today. Because to achieve a big vision in community development, you have to have not just the vision and the plan, but also good partners. Let me illustrate that by comparing Gateway to a few other places. 25 years ago, as a newly elected city commissioner in charge of the Planning Bureau, I was put on the Metro 2040 Plan Committee. And we looked at the map and listened to the community's hopes and dreams about taking that 1950s suburban model and turning it into a neighborhood center. We brought in Peter Calthorpe, the preeminent urban designer in the country, and we looked at the situation on the land. Two interstate highways, one light rail line then, not three. Close to the airport, lots of redevelopment potential, and so we drew a circle on the map and said, regional center, the one and only in Portland. Later, the council adopted the Gateway Urban Renewal Area and the Gateway Action Plan. So if good planning alone were enough to set the table for achieving the community's goals, our work was done. Here we are, 25 years later. In those 25 years, a lot of other visions have become real. The Pearl District, the South Waterfront, Burnside Bridgehead, Lentz, but not Gateway. What's the differentiator? In every case, for-profit developers or nonprofit institutions who were, one, local, and two, interested in achieving their goals by helping the community achieve ours, partnered with the city to make it happen. In the Pearl District, Homer Williams, Ed McNamara, Tiffany Schweitzer, John Carroll. They were great partners. South Waterfront, Homer Williams again, Peter Kohler and Connie Seely and Brian Newman from OHSU, Burnside Bridgehead, Brad, Liz, and Jonathan Molson, Kevin Cavanaugh and the crazy young team at Guerrilla Development, what a company name, and Lentz, Chad Reniker, and Dr. Eric Zito. In each case, we've had partners, either profit or nonprofit developers, who were willing to work to achieve the long-term vision. And I believe that today you have the opportunity to join forces with those kinds of principled private sector partners to make the Gateway vision real. To accomplish that, yes, you'll need to approve this LID and the others that will follow it. You'll also need to share in the cost of the infrastructure and affordable housing, because it's impossible to simply get that by planning and requirements. Otherwise, we'd have it there by now. Mainly, I just encourage you to get to know these property owners, and they're going to be here today. It's not one developer. It's several different families that have accumulated this property over time. Take their measure. Reach across the table in partnership with them, and if you do, I believe you will take for what has 25 years been colors on the map and words on pages and make them into a place that we'll all be proud of. So I look forward to your engagement with them and the Livable Gateway nonprofit that hired us to draw some ideas for what might be there and make that idea real.
Thank you, Mayor. We appreciate it very much. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor, members of the Council. My name is Steve Witter, TriMet's Executive Director of Capital Projects, and I'm proud to be here today in support of the LID and continue our partnership with the city to improve pedestrian safety and access, not only at this location, but system-wide. This particular project is part of a program of improvements that TriMet has undertaken in the last couple of years and foresee to do in the future at all of our light rail stations. And this is part of the oldest part of the system. And so improvements to pedestrian access and safety are certainly due at this location. We have not designed the crossing work yet, but the improvements that we'll typically see there are pedestrian improved pedestrian wayfinding and signage, improved pedestrian crossings at pathways, including bicycles and folks with mobility challenges. So we'll look forward to bringing this up to current standards for safety and accessibility. We are proud to be a funding partner in this project and look forward to working with you in the future. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mayor. Folks. And I think our last two are Jennifer Stedman and Gordon Jones, and that will conclude our invited testimony.
Very good. And I understand there's a number of people signed up to testify under public testimony. I want to make sure we get everybody in, so please think about keeping your comments to 2 minutes.
Good morning.
Good morning.
If I seem a little nervous, it's because I am. It's my first time in front of council, so
no worries. We're glad you're here. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. My name is Jennifer Stedman, and I'm the Director of Operations for JMW Properties. Joe Westerman is a partner in this Gateway project. In the past, I have worked for a developer that has built multi-use tax-exempt properties in Northeast Portland. And instead of, I took it upon myself to not just allow the affordable housing, I wanted to make sure that I was reaching out to the community, that I was doing what was best for our residents. So in the past several years, I've had open communications with Teen Insight, Central City Concern, Catholic Charities, NAACP, the HUD-VASH program, reach and many more, and that was to help build a community that helped support one another. Over the past couple of years, specifically in the Gateway, we have quite a few homes in the Gateway area. I have developed some friendships with the residents that do live down there, and so they don't look at me as necessarily just the landlord, but as a friend. And going through there, I've heard firsthand as I've heard about, you know, their living conditions and what they'd like to see and what some of the issues that they come up with. They have unconnected sidewalks. They have no parks to you know, walk to take their children. And sometimes they don't feel safe moving throughout the community, and one of them being is the I-205 multi-use path. It takes it to a different level when you're not just a landlord, but you're an advocate as part of, you know, as for your friends. I take this to heart, and, you know, I'm moving forward every day to make this project a reality. I've also joined forces with JOIN, and they, our property management company in the Gateway area specifically, calls JOIN, and they have the first right of refusal every time we have a vacant home. So it's been a neat relationship to build with them. Let's see. So out of the, in the Gateway District, or in the Gateway area in this development, there are roughly, 32 homes that would be displaced, which we're committed to as the property management company to create an anti-displacement policy. And what that means is we own roughly 233 apartment units within 2 miles of that area. So as this continues, we would be willing to help offset the relocation costs for the residents in that area, helping them move, not doing any types of rental increases, and also keep an open dialogue with them as this progresses to get them moved within their community and then move back into the Gateway area. So of those 32 homes, we own 17 of those at the moment. So these people have already qualified, they're already paying the rents, and we're committed to making sure that there is no displacement. And that seems like a small price to pay for being able to build such a large community, of which 40% would be affordable. Our goal and my goal is to provide affordable, integrated housing with a safe and stable community with the mindset of helping one another.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you. Morning.
In the interest of keeping giving more time to some of the people that are activists in Gateway, have worked on this for well over 20 years, I'm going to keep my comments pretty short, but anecdotally, I want to tell you a couple quick stories. I currently live in Gateway. I've lived and worked in Gateway for well over 20 years. My proudest accomplishment is the Rose Apartments, which is built right in the center of this neighborhood and has been a functioning 40% affordable, very socially and economically integrated housing community with
garden boxes. And I'm sorry, did you say your name for the record already?
Oh, Gordon Jones.
Thank you, Gordon.
Gordon Jones.
Thank you.
So I live in another residential community called Gateway Arbors that I built. When I built that, we displaced about 9 homes that were in the area, older homes. But two of those, I moved one and moved some people with it when we relocated it. Two others were elderly women living alone, and we did this in phases. I moved both of them into the first phase, and they lived there until they passed away, both of them. So I tend to get very involved with things that I work on. I live in that very project, if you will, right now. And it was condominium homes, but also had worked with on the Rose. We worked with Metro, Portland Bureau of Transportation, Portland Housing Bureau, Bureau of Environmental Services, and Prosper Portland on that project. And everything I've done in Gateway has been a city partnership. So this is nothing new, and this vision is the neighborhood vision has been going on for, as you know, well over 20 years. It's taken a long time to assemble all these small, older homes, many of which are vacant or boarded up. So it's something we've been working on and a vision we've held for many, many years. And I think we're getting close. It takes one LID and one street at a time to make it happen. So thank you.
Thank you for being here. Appreciate it. Thank you. Carla, how many people do we have signed up for public testimony on this item?
We have 6 people.
Very good. 2 minutes each, please, name for the record. Come on up.
First 3 are Curtis Fate, Bruce Johnson, and Christopher Masiochi, I believe is the last name.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Curtis Michael Faith, and I have been a real estate developer on a small scale. I've been in finance. My primary background is in tech. And I've written 3 books, mainly about my early experience in finance. The reason that I'm addressing this particular issue is because I have walked the city probably 1,000 miles in the last 6 months because I'm intending to bring in a lot of business associated with technology and entertainment businesses that I have been gestating in my mind as I've been working on a book on poverty for the last 11 years. And I find that this particular site is very interesting because there's a lot of the problems of the city are present in the site currently, and yet there is a tremendous opportunity there. I saw that as one of the prime areas that I would like to personally participate in bringing in some businesses. I think that the timing of some of the development is something that the council could certainly push in a direction that would make it much easier to get things to happen more quickly and to address the affordable housing. For example, if you put the affordable housing units up first, then you're not going to have a whole bunch of people worried about not being able to have housing, and it also provides places for workers to live, potentially if they're coming in from out of town. Likewise, the problem of the homelessness in the city in that particular area is particularly acute as you're near the highway. There's lots of danger in or perceived danger in the homeless. I've actually been underground as a homeless person 4 or 5 of the last years in Rotterdam, in Europe, in various places in Germany, and also in D.C., and in Portland for 80% of the last 6 months, even though that wasn't my intent when I got here. There are some specific things that need to be addressed, and I'd like to talk with them about the council later.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great. We'd appreciate that. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Bruce Johnson. I'm the president of the Columbia Corridor Association, and I figured you're tired of hearing Corky all the time, so I came in his stead. This additional housing we're talking about and the breaking up of these, I'll say, non-Portland super blocks, when the city is sold by Travel Portland, they talk about how Portland has walkable blocks. What Andrew presented with a super block is not a Portland thing. I think Gateway needs to be a Portland thing. We're desperately needing safe places to walk in that area. Those puddles, it'd be fun as a kid to ride my bike through, but we're talking about adults and families. That needs to improve. My employees live there and come to the airport every week, every day. We need something done in Gateway, and I think LID is what we need.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mayor Wheeler and Council, my name is Christopher Mishaki. I live and work in Gateway, and I've been engaged in trying to uplift that area for about 13 years. I know we're here really to talk about the LID, and my notes here have largely to do with the bigger picture, so I'll try to pare it down. But one of the things I really appreciate is that the folks involved in this have really reached out to the community, and we feel genuinely like they care about all the issues that have been brought up here today. What I love is that the vision for this development is of a really high caliber, and it resonates with the original vision of Gateway as a true regional center. When Metro designated Gateway as a regional center over 20 years ago, it did so because of the area's intrinsic values. It was a profound and unparalleled transportation hub. It's even more of one now, and it's increasingly important as we focus on creating transit-oriented development. During those years, Outer East Portland has become the most diverse place in the entire state of Oregon, and that in itself is a huge asset that we need to look at. Of course, all of that growth comes with a challenge, and one of those things, if you look at PBOT's equity matrix map, if you look at it today, Portland is basically divided into two sections, split right down I-205. And the fates of those two areas have been really different. The west side prospering like never before, and the east side experiencing a lot of disinvestment. So it's interesting to me, though, that Gateway lies right in the middle of those two things. It's a really, really unique opportunity to, as Commissioner Hardesty said, take all the lessons we learned from revitalizing other areas of the city and really applying those lessons that we learned, right? This is where we can do it right. we can make something that's truly equitable. And from what I understand of this project, that really is the goal, that this is something that will integrate people. It will be, you know, affordable and market rate and have amenities. They're thinking about families and those green spaces that they're talking about. You know, they're juxtaposed. They've got daycare and those sorts of things.
Thank you.
You know, so it's really, really important. And
got it. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay.
Your time is up. Next three people, please.
Are Linda Robinson, Frida Christopher, and Courtney Shannon.
Do you just need a desk here?
Might be, because I'll be back tomorrow again.
Thank you. Welcome. Would you like to start?
Yes.
Thank
Good you. Morning. I'm Linda Robinson, and I, too, am a resident of the Gateway area. I've been working with Prosper Portland and others for more than 20 years to make something happen in this urban renewal area, and I am really excited that this project is coming forward. I'm excited partly because the developers live and work in the area. I'm really excited about the mixed housing. I know we need a lot more affordable housing, but we also need market rate housing. We need to have a good mixture of both, and the projects that will follow this LID will have a good mix, not a separate building for the people who can only afford the affordable and another building for the people who you know have a little more money, but they're mixed together in housing units. This is really something that we need in the Gateway area. And the improvements to the Max Crossing at 97th is really that whole section from Birdside to Gleason is a problem area, really unsafe. The crossing the streets in particular, really unsafe, and these improvements will be greatly appreciated, and sidewalks and all of that. So I'm very much in support of the LID, and I know a lot about the projects that will follow, and I'm excited about those as well.
Thank you.
Gosh, Linda kept it under 2 minutes. My name is Frida Christopher, and thank you, Mayor and Council members, for having me here today. I'm co-chair of the East Portland Action Plan Housing Subcommittee, as well as have been on the Gateway URAC for its whole existence, and was part of the writing of the concept plan for Gateway.
Excuse me, Frida, just for the people who are listening. What's a URAC?
Oh, sorry. It's Advisory Committee for the Urban Renewal Area. They no longer exist out there for Gateway, Lansing, and I believe Interstate. I've been on the school board of David Douglas, which Gateway is in, for the last 28 years. I support, and our committee sent a letter of support for this LID. But I want to just broaden it a little bit and look at the next LID, which is very key because that is where city investment will be needed. $2 million from Prosper Portland and $2 million from PBOT. But in that, the private developers will be taking responsibility for $8 million. And that's just the infrastructure. It has nothing to do with building the units themselves. The district, people say, well, 5 years ago, we were talking about overcrowding. We're seeing displacement occurring now, not from this project, just from gentrification in the area. It is happening now. Our Housing Bureau is looking at a preference policy for affordable housing in East Portland because of that displacement. What is very nice about this project and its location is Douglas has a piece of property at the Transit Center that is for a future urban-built elementary school. When we build this project, as it comes to fruition, will also drive when we build our urban elementary school. So they are all connected. I just happen to be on several committees that connect them all together and the different input. I'd like to see both of these LIDs move forward with the city investment. It's what is needed in this area for something to get going.
Thanks, Frida.
I'm trying to finish quick.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Since we're throwing around credentials today, my name is Courtney Shannon. I have a deep degree in computer system engineering, and I will speak for anyone and everybody in this town and have regarding houselessness and people being displaced. So name any agency I've spoken for. I've worked with Joanne writing some laws. And I figured maybe if I dress better, you won't kick me out today because I went off subject, in your opinion, which it wasn't, by the way. But I want to speak to the money. I mean, I don't think that having that much affordable housing with that kind of criteria is realistic, especially not in this town. How about people with no income like me? How about people who fall in the cracks like me? What are you going to do with them? And I have to agree, please don't put people in different buildings. That's stupid. How better to educate people that houseless people and people of low income are no different than you and me than to put everybody together in one box and have them play together? But I don't understand why it is that more people aren't being helped through this. Certainly, since I heard the man with my own two ears. He said, we will make anything possible that you want possible. So go for it. The city does have the money. You know you do. If you didn't spend all that money sweeping and killing people and taking it out of the housing fund, you would certainly have more money to throw towards this. It's inexcusable. And I really hope that you lean towards doing that. Because people are dying out here because you refuse to stop the sweeps and give them housing. Have a good day.
That completes public testimony, Carla. Is that correct?
Yes, that's all.
Very good. Colleagues, any further discussion or questions? This is a resolution. Carla, please call the roll.
Fritz?
Well, this is a really pleasant surprise. I was expecting a fairly routine local improvement district. That's what it looked like from the documents. And so I'm really excited to see that this is, in fact, the long-awaited gateway development starting off. And congratulations to the community, because I know that there's many, many organizations and individuals who've worked really, really hard on this, property owners, community members, and a lot of people coming together. We want to particularly thank Chris Scarzello, who was here earlier today, who's been a longtime planner in East Portland and has been a part of this, and also Corky Collier. And it's a lot of stalwarts here. I could just go around the room, and it's fabulous that you all, many of you, were able to be here to see this actually starting to happen. Commissioner Charlie Hales took a chance with a 38-year-old young, I was young then, environmentalist neighborhood activist, and put me on the Planning Commission right when the Gateway Plan was coming through. And so it's going back to our age-friendly resolution, there's certain advantages to living to be 60, to find out that things actually do take a lot of time to come to the right point, but it looks like this is actually going to start to happen. My parents-in-law live at Cherrywood Village in the Gateway District. There's many affordable senior living situations in this area. I go there often, and especially since the Gateway Discovery Park was finished and is now just such a magnet for good activity in this entire region. So I'm really excited that we're getting going. I look forward to hearing many more details about the proposed development and what the requests from the city will be, because obviously it will need to be a public-private partnership. The staff time for the Bureau of Transportation is definitely needed for a street improvement project, and also there's a whole lot more going on, and so I'm really looking forward to getting more information about it. Aye.
Fish?
Well, first I want to thank Commissioner Udaly for bringing this forward today. I also want to thank Andrew Abbey, who is really a model public servant. I think every bureau wishes they had a handful of Andrew Abbeys to help us build consensus.
Hands off.
I'd also be remiss if I didn't publicly thank Linda Robinson, who is here today. I think it was Commissioner Fritz who first introduced me to Linda. In the last few months, Linda has turned over the mantle of leadership in a number of organizations to some new faces in East Portland. But frankly, I can't think of someone who has been consistently so often on the right side of issues involving East Portland equity and East Portland parks. And she is also one of the driving visions and driving people behind Gateway Green. So, Linda, thank you very much for all of your great work. We don't often have former mayors come back and testify, but I really appreciated something Mayor Hale said, and I think it helps us. What he was doing was preaching a certain level of humility about the development process and the planning process. And I think it's worth taking a moment just to reflect that there were a number of years, particularly when I was serving on this body over the last 10, when there wasn't a lot going on in Lentz. There wasn't a lot going on in Gateway. There was some criticism about the pace of development in South Waterfront. When Veterans Memorial Coliseum was the subject